Today I'm proclaiming the Word of God from the Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your Word to us, fill us with your Spirit, so that we may confess Christ and so that we may grow in a maturity of faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, this is how today's reading starts. And let's pause right away. In this account, the location is evidently important because it is nominated Caesarea Philippi. Sometimes in the scriptures, when we have a narrative or a parable, it's quite clear that where the action takes place is not of significance. So, for example, Jesus in Luke's Gospel tells the parable of the unjust judge and the widow, and he says, in a certain town there was a judge, in a certain town. Doesn't matter where, don't worry about the location, that's not what I'm drawing attention to. But here, the location is nominated up front, in Caesarea Philippi. Now, in Jesus' time and place, there are in fact two Caesareas. Just like in South Australia, there are two Kingstons, Kingston and the Murray, Kingston Southeast. There was one Caesarea down on the coast in Jesus' day and place, and one up to the northeast. That's where Caesarea Philippi is, up to the northeast. Now, the text itself doesn't unpack what the location means, but scholars have different opinions which they offer that can be helpful to know about. One is that the significance that the location is significant because it's on the borderland in politically contested territory and the leaping off area into mission. So, in other words, the action takes place not in the center, not in Jerusalem, but on the borders, going into mission. Another opinion that scholars hold is that the place is significant because it's religiously contested area. In Caesarea Philippi, we know there was a temple to the god Pan. It had been a place of worship for the god Baal. It was a place of worship for the deified Caesar. Religiously contested territory. It's in that territory that Jesus is going to ask his disciples about his own identity. This is what the text says. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" This is the first time in Matthew's Gospel that Jesus draws his attention, his disciples' attention, to his identity. Before this, he's called disciples. He's given teaching. He has done healings and works of wonder. But now, for the first time, he's asking questions of his disciples about his identity. He first asks his disciples what they've heard about him from others. And they have answers at the ready. And they said, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. What these answers have in common is that they are all prophets and that they are all no longer alive. But the text does not go into any further detail here, because Jesus goes on to ask what, to my mind, is the central question of the Gospels, a question that resonates down to this day. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And the "you" here is emphatic. You. Who do you say that I am? And the stage is set for St. Peter's great confession of faith. Let's pause here. You must know as members of Bethlehem that every Sunday as we gather together, we make a confession of faith. We use the confessions handed down to us by our fathers and mothers in the faith, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, sometimes on occasion the Athanasian Creed. Now, because these confessions are a routine part of our worship, it can be easy for us to tune out and to not think too seriously about what we are doing. But it's good for us to pause and to think. When we confess the faith, we are responding to the question that Jesus asks us. Who do you say that I am? So, when you confess the faith today, when you confess the faith every Sunday in church, know that you are responding to your Lord. Not simply parroting something, not simply acting out a routine, but entering into a great response, a spirit-filled response made by St. Peter, made in the church, made also here at Bethlehem, Sunday by Sunday. St. Peter gives the basic response. He said, "You are the Messiah." Messiah means the anointed one. Messiah comes from the Hebrew language. The Greek version is Christ. So that you know, Messiah and Christ mean the same thing. The anointed one, God's chosen one. You are the Messiah, St. Peter said, the Son of the living God. So, St. Peter gives Jesus, if you like, a title, the Messiah. Let's pause and think about what this means. And I'll use an analogy here. A few weeks back, I let you know that Margaret, my wife, and I had our 25th wedding anniversary recently. Back on my wedding day, if you'd asked Adelaide University who Margaret was, they would have said that she's a student there. If you'd asked the Australian government who she was, they would have said she's a citizen. If you'd asked her parents, they would have said, she's a daughter. But on that day, if you'd asked me who Margaret was, I wouldn't have said she's a daughter, a citizen, or a student, although all those things were true. And I would have not said that she's my girlfriend. I would have said she is my wife. I would have been saying something true about her, but also using a title that acknowledged the relationship that we had with each other and that we have to this day. In other words, the titles aren't simply descriptive of the person, but also unpack the relationship. Now, of course, what it means to call Margaret my wife, I did not fully understand on my wedding day. And even now, 25 years later, I'm still growing in knowledge of what this means, as we need to grow in our knowledge of what it means to call Jesus the Christ. But it was a true confession on my wedding day. It's true today. St. Peter's confession of the Christ, true then, and also something to grow into. Let's listen how the text says it again. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are my Lord. You are the one who has authority over me. You are the one who establishes my identity. You are the one whom I will follow." And Jesus answered him, the text says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." The confession that Simon makes, remember that Simon is his name. Peter is the title that Jesus gives him. The confession that Simon makes is not based on human reason or on human strength, but comes as a gift from God. It's a confession that can only be made by God's action, by God's power. Now, as Lutheran Christians, this way of thinking is no surprise to us. Think about these words from the Small Catechism. This is the modern translation. I'm sure you know a version like this. I believe that on my own, I can never come to Jesus Christ my Lord or believe in him, no matter how hard I try. But the Holy Spirit has called me to Jesus by the good news about him. It's because our faith is a divine gift that it has a central role in our life together as God's people. And listen to how Jesus continues. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, in the history of the church, there's been a lot of debate about what it means for Jesus to use the word rock in this context. After all, it could be Peter. His name does mean rocky. Is Jesus talking primarily here about Peter? Or is he talking about himself? It's another possibility. In our own Lutheran tradition, we understand, and this is in line with the opinion of the early church, that what Jesus is talking about here, the rock that he's talking about, is Peter's confession of faith. The confession of Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In other words, when we get the answer to the question, who do you say that I am, right? When we answer that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then we build on a firm foundation. A foundation not even Hades, not even death can overcome. We have life in the church, in that community that has at its center the forgiveness of sins that the Messiah has won for us. The link between confession and Christian community is made by Jesus as the narrative goes on. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now again, in the history of the church, there's much debate on what these words mean. There are different explanations which seem to me largely complementary. But today I want to go down one path of interpretation that is suggested by Matthew 18 and John 20, and is also enacted in the liturgical life of this congregation to this day. And that is that Jesus is here talking about the church's authority to forgive the sins of those who repent and to declare to those who don't repent that their sins are not forgiven. Think about our traditional formula after we confess our sins. Christ gave to his church the authority to forgive the sins of those who repent and to declare to those who do not repent that their sins are not forgiven. Therefore, upon your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to all of you. On behalf of my Lord Jesus Christ and by his command, I forgive the sins of all of you who repent and believe in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Familiar words, right? Going back in Scripture to passages like this one today, like Matthew 18, like John 20. This is one way that we take Jesus' words in the church and hand them on and enact them. We are brought together through this word of forgiveness, free to make a confession of faith and to live with trust in Christ. that there is a link between confessing Jesus as the Messiah and receiving him as the one who had to die to atone for our sins, helps us make sense, I think, of the last part of today's reading. Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Hearing these words can seem strange to us as Christian people because we think in terms of the Great Commission. Aren't we meant to tell people about Jesus? Aren't we meant to be promoting the gospel as baptized people? Well, yes, but we have to learn who Jesus is. We're going to find out from next Sunday's reading that St. Peter, on the one hand, could confess correctly, even on the basis of divine revelation, who Jesus was, but he did not yet understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. St. Peter thought that Jesus was going on a path of worldly glory, where he would be honoured, where he would be exalted, and perhaps, who knows, where he might even kick out the Romans and re-establish the kingdom of Israel. But Jesus was going on a different path. The Messiah was going on the path of rejection, on the path of crucifixion, and on the path of resurrection. St. Peter and the disciples had to learn what their confession meant. Therefore, they had to stay silent and observe and be with Jesus. And in being with him, learn the love that God has for us, the love that overcomes even death. The baptized people, let's today confess with St. Peter who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And let's also, with Peter, grow in our understanding of who Jesus is, that he is the one who died to take away our sins, that he is the one who calls us to take our cross and to follow him, to grow in our understanding that when we face suffering and difficulty and even rejection, it does not mean that God is absent or that Jesus is not the Messiah or that the living God has no care for us. Instead, let us grow in our understanding that love is willing to suffer, that love conquers death, and that in Christ Jesus we see the love of God revealed for us, a love that draws us by the power of the Spirit to our heavenly home. Oh, may God keep us in this life of faith, keep us in this confession, and keep us growing in maturity day by day. For Christ's sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.